Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something crucial for anyone creating music: getting paid globally. You know, there's so much information out there for creators, it can feel overwhelming.
It really can.
Especially when your work starts traveling, crossing borders. How do you actually make sure you see the money from that? So our mission in this deep dive is to unpack this key 11-digit number, the IPI. Sounds technical, maybe, but we're going to explain why it's like your financial passport in the music world.
Yeah.
It's about getting paid, plain and simple.
Exactly. And honestly, understanding your IPI, it's kind of a shortcut. It puts you way ahead in knowing your rights and how the system works.
Okay, let's dive right in then. What is an IPI number exactly? Why should creators care about, you know, just a string of digits?
Right. It sounds dry, but it's powerful. So the IPI is an international identification number.
International, okay.
Yeah, assigned through the CSAC database. Think of CSAC as the big global group setting standards for all those collection societies worldwide. Its main job, to uniquely identify rights holders. So specifically songwriters and publishers.
It's really global.
Oh, yeah. It's used pretty much everywhere. We're talking over 120 countries, something like 3 million rights holders are in that database. It's the standard.
Wow. Okay. So IPI, what does that actually stand for? Those acronyms can be tricky.
Good question. It stands for Interested Parties Information.
Interested Parties Information. Makes sense.
Yeah. And like you said, 11 digits, numeric digits. It's all about clearly tagging who the interested party is for payment when a song earns money. Anywhere.
Now, here's something that caught my eye when we were prepping. I heard it wasn't always called IPI. There was another name.
Ah, yes. You're right. That definitely causes some confusion sometimes. It used to be called CAE.
CAE.
Which stood for Composer, Author, and Publisher. And those CAE numbers were shorter, just 9 digits.
Right. Composer, author, publisher. Why E for publisher? That seems a bit odd in English.
It does. The reason is it actually came from French. Mm-hmm. The system was set up by the Swiss society, Suisse.
Ah, Switzerland.
Yep. And in French, it's Compositeur, auteur, and éditeur. Éditeur means publisher.
Éditeur. Okay. That explains the E.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, Suisse still administers the whole IPI database today, following the rules set by CSAC. So that history kind of lingers.
Good to know that background. So, okay, it identifies you internationally, but let's get down to brass tacks. What does this mean practically for someone who just wants to get paid for their song?
Well, this is really the crucial part. This number is absolutely essential for you to get paid correctly.
Essential.
I mean, think about it. Your song blows up online, gets used in an ad overseas, streamed millions of times without the right IPI link to it.
Where does the money go?
Exactly. Could just sit there. Undistributed royalties, what they sometimes call a black box, because the system couldn't definitively say, pay this person.
Yeah.
So you absolutely need to make sure your IPI is accurate on registrations. Don't ever, ever just guess or put in a random number to, you know, get past a form field.
Right. Don't do that.
And it's connected to other important codes too, particularly the ISWC.
ISWC?
International Standard Musical Work Code. Yeah. That's the unique ID for the song itself. The IPI is the ID for you, the person or publisher connected to that song.
Okay, so ISWC for the work, IPI for the writer, publisher.
Precisely. Like the source material mentioned the song Ernie. It has an ISWC number ending in 3147.
Benny Hill, right.
Yeah, Benny Hill. He's the only interested party listed for that song, and his IPI number is 00014-7338. And what's really useful is you can often use that IPI number, Benny Hill's number, to look up all the other songs registered under his name. It links your whole catalog.
That makes it much easier for everyone to track, I guess.
Definitely. For societies, for digital platforms.
Good work.
Everyone.
Okay, this brings up a really common question we hear. People have membership numbers with their PRO, like ASCAP or BMI here in the U.S. Is that number the same as their IPI?
Ah, great question. Yeah. And the answer is a very definite no.
No.
Absolutely not. Your PRO membership number identifies you within that specific organization. Think of it like your local club membership card.
Right.
Your IPAEE number is your international identifier. It's recognized globally across different societies. You need both, for sure, but they are different numbers serving different jobs. Don't mix them up.
That's a critical distinction. Okay, so if this IPI is so vital, how do you actually find one? Say, if you need to find the IPI for a collaborator who's with ASCAP or BMI, is it hidden away somewhere?
Thankfully, no. It's usually publicly searchable on the PRO websites. It's pretty straightforward, actually.
Okay. Let's take ASCAP first.
Sure. For ASCAP, you'd go to ASCAP.com, Look for Repertory. It's often on a menu on the left.
Repertory search. Got it.
Then you'll probably see a search bar. Change the search type to writer. Then just type in the first and last name. Let's say John Smith.
Yeah.
It'll bring up a list of John Smiths. And next to their names, you should see their IPI number and also which PRO they're affiliated with. You just find the right John Smith.
Simple enough. What about BMI? Similar process.
Very similar. Go to BMI.com. Usually in the top right, there's a search icon. Maybe it says search site or repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Click that. You might get a little pop-up window. Choose search BMI repertoire. And again, change the search type to songwriter composer. Type in the name. And just like ASCAP, you'll get results showing names, their CILPI number, and their affiliation. Find your person.
Okay, sounds easy. Any pitfalls or quirks to watch out for with those search tools?
That's a really good point. There is one thing, particularly with BMI, sometimes.
Oh.
Their search can be a bit fussy about the order of the names. First name, last name.
Ah.
So if you search John Smith and get nothing, try searching Smith John. Or maybe even just search by the last name Smith and browse the results.
Good tip. So you might need to try a couple of variations.
Exactly. Just a little quirk to be aware of. It can save you some head scratching.
Definitely good to know. So there we have it. This IPI number, these 11 digits, they're small, but wow, they are mighty.
Absolutely.
It's your key, really, in the global world of music rights. It's about being identified correctly, owning your work, and making sure the money you earn actually finds its way back to you wherever it's generated.
It really boils down to that, which leads to, I think, a good final thought for everyone listening.
Yeah.
As you're putting your music out there, dealing with this complex global landscape, maybe ask yourself, how am I making sure every piece I create is properly tagged, not just released, but set up so the system knows who I am and how to pay me?
That's the million-dollar question sometimes, literally. Are you just hoping for the best, or are you actively managing your identification?
Precisely.
So maybe take a minute after this. If you're a creator, check your own IPI. Make sure it's right everywhere. Or look up someone you collaborate with. Being informed about this stuff isn't just admin. It's about taking control of your career.
Couldn't agree more. Know your number.